And welcome to the Under the Bus podcast. I am Clayton, joined by Emerge. How are you doing, Emerge?
Doing good.
One cares how you're doing, Emerge. We're here for Raj and Raj only.
Cool. I was literally going to bring Raj up too.
How are you doing, Raj?
Cool. Wow, that's the only introduction Merge gets. Just Merge is here. That's all. Yeah. On his own show, on his own podcast. Man, that's rough. That is rough. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing, man?
We're just happy that you're here, Raj.
Raj is essentially a co-host at this point. Yeah. Like four straight pods that he's been on.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I feel like you guys record on my schedule. It should be the other way around, honestly. Like, this is your guys' show.
No, we literally were like, oh, this podcast is time. Let's ask Raj. And then you're like, I can record.
Raj is great. All right. So, Raj, the Lakers did really well against the Warriors, like we told you they would. Mm-hmm. You were really nervous, and they were really good, like we said. So I'm happy about that. I'm not here to rub it in your face. Maybe a little bit, but
I'll take it. I'll definitely take it.
We're not here to talk about that series because that one's long gone. We unfortunately Merge and Allen and everyone's schedule was not great for having a bit of a series review of that. But and also getting a little bit of a late start on the Denver series. But whatever, we're gonna review game one and talk a bit about it. So Merge, how about you start us off since I was so cold hearted towards you?
What's new? Clayton, what's new?
That's what I do.
Weird game. Really weird game, I think. Especially the first quarter where Jokic, I think he almost had more rebounds than Lakers had points at one point. Like, he had like 12 and Lakers only had like 10 points or something crazy like that. And they started small with Dennis instead of Rui or Vando, which I think when you look back at it, was probably the death knell of this game. Yeah, I think I'm not going to say you win because obviously the game falls a different way if Rui starts, but I don't think you're down by 20. I don't think the Lakers go down like that if Rui or Vando, even a Vando start, because I think you get like three more of those rebounds that turn into points, and suddenly instead of being down 12 going into the second, you're down four going into the second, you know? So I think that was a big reason why they lost. But going into that second half, where and in the first half, both LeBron and AD were actually scoring pretty efficiently. I think they both had like 16 each, something like that, going into halftime. But, you know, coming out again, they went with Dennis to start the quarter again, which, again, not what you should have done. Mm-hmm. We've praised Darvin a lot in these playoffs, but he's not great at in-game adjustments except for another one that we'll talk about soon. But a lot of times he just isn't great at adjusting from in between the second and third quarters, because Rui, again, he should have started. It wasn't even just like just having a big body out there. Rui was scoring. They couldn't defend him. They were putting MPJ on him, and he was just getting whatever he wanted in that mid-range. And
Jamal Murray was on him a bit when I was doing
Jamal Murray as well on switches. Mm-hmm. So it really, I think that's the first thing that we should discuss here is the going small and then having Rui come in, and then we can get to that run in a bit.
Raj, let me real quick step in before you go. The funny thing about them starting Dennis is that you expected the Lakers to come out just exploding off the ball, going really, really fast. They look slow, and Denver was getting a shot up, I think, like with just it just at stupid rates. Like it was like 24 to 8 or something like that quick. Like not even halfway through the quarter. It was just insane how quickly they got those points up.
And there was a point in the game where it was 20 to 3 rebounds.
And the Lakers quote unquote made up for it by it was 24 to 8. I remember I think it was Breen brought it up. Which, by the way, Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy are just unbearable to listen to. They're so
you don't want to hear about awful. Flopping for the 1,000th time. That's literally all they talk about is the flopping.
Yeah, like it was just unbelievable. But I think that was just my main takeaway from that is that you expected with Dennis that they would be flying up and down the court. You know, the Denver had been really bad in transition defense. in the playoffs. And like the Lakers just looked like they were running in mud for a while. You know, like, that was just like, really weird.
The top of the key or the wing.
Yeah, it was several bad shots. Like, we said before we started, like LeBron did not have a great first quarter. He had after his that rest for a few minutes, you know, he kind of got recalibrated for a play or two, and then he had another two or three bad plays, and it was just like, dog, what are you doing? Seemed like a full reset in the second quarter, but that was I just remember like. Because I just rewatched it before we started, you know, just like, oh my God, why are you doing this? Like, that was not a smart play. Why are you taking that shot? Oh my God, stop doing what you're doing. Slow down. Like, and you're not even really moving fast. Like, it's just, yeah, sorry.
Go ahead, Brush. No. Well, you brought up Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson. Shameless plug here. If you want to watch with us on All Access Lakers, you can watch with us on playback. No, but like my biggest issue with the Dennis Schroeder stuff is I thought we adjusted to like we were adjusting to ourselves. Like we were kind of playing ourselves already before the series started. And I said before, to me, like the best defense against the Nuggets is a good offense, right? And I thought we took quick shots. Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, really quick threes. And it seemed like counterintuitive. Yeah, if you play Dennis Schroeder at point guard, then yeah, you're trying to push the pace. But to me, that's like the wrong strategy against Denver. You want this to be an ugly, rugged game, right? And that's what it was in the second half. You had Rui Hachimura, LeBron James picking mismatches instead of attacking like off the dribble or trying to, you know, hit threes and take transition threes. That plays into KCP in transition. That plays into Michael Porter Jr. getting loose. And I thought that was the mistake starting Dennis there. And also, we had Austin Reeves on Michael Porter Jr. like that, like just conceptually that destroys the integrity of your defense, right? Because Austin's going to need help. And also like, even when he chased correctly, MPJ is 6'10", 6'11", Austin's like 6'4", that contest just isn't there. So like Denver's offense to start was like MPJ jumper, Jamal Murray jumper off the help that they had to create. And then you brought up the rebounds. Nikola Jokic, I think, had 6 or 7 offensive rebounds in the first quarter. Again, that's all because
it was like 12 rebounds. Yeah, in the first quarter alone, he had almost a triple double in the first quarter. It was at least a double double
going into halftime.
Yeah, it was.
No, yeah, he was insane. He might have played the best game I've seen in a while. But to me, like if you have a 6'4 guy guarding a 6'11 guy, it just compromises your defense to an extent to where, and also that puts a lot of pressure on LeBron James to be a rebounder, right? Like to be a physical rebounder, to go box out Aaron Gordon every time, to go, you know, try to box out Nikola Jokic. And I don't think it was just the three guards. I thought our intensity as well, combined with that, like our level of effort on the boards, got them up big. It was 37 to 25 after the first quarter. And so we never really caught up until the fourth.
That quarter was really where it just kind of all started falling apart. And then I don't even know if I would say like the third quarter is like when they got it back on track, because still with like 4 minutes left in the fourth or the third quarter, they were up by 20. It was really only like the last 16 minutes where they finally got it rolling. So I think that's kind of the biggest thing. They gotta slow the game down. And as you said, they can't just let those crazy athletes who are now used to the Denver, you know, thinner air, you know, like go out and get it. I mean, like Bruce Brown also going out and just yammed on them. I was just it was a happy time for me because I love Bruce Brown and the U. But for the Lakers, that was an ugly sight. But let's go ahead and talk about like Lakers defending Jokic. I think AD on him obviously is fine. Like AD played good defense on him. It was just then that he wasn't able to do his crazy defense everywhere. You know, he could only focus on him. And I think that's where like the fourth quarter and everyone, you know, like Rui, how he was on him, you know, and it kind of seemed to slow him down a bit more, not entirely, but then like AD was able to step it up because he wasn't having to just focus on him. I think that's kind of what we're going to lead into about like starting lineups for next game for game two. I think Rui or Vando should start as Merge already said. I think I would probably go Rui personally. Mm-hmm. I love Vando. He was bitching a little bit too much for my liking yesterday.
He also had a weird game. He's
like tripping over people.
I don't think it's a strong way to put it, because like there was a play. It was in transition defense. He was arguing that he got fouled, and he did not get back on defense. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry. Like, you're not LeBron. You're not AD. You're Jared Vanderbilt. Like, I love you.
And it's annoying when they do it too. So with Vanderbilt, it's like 10 times more annoying.
Really annoying when they do it. But the fact that you're doing it and you're supposed to be a really good defender, and then they just go out and score because you didn't even get back to really half court.
Mm-hmm.
Quit your bitching. Like, just get back. You know, like that's kind of where I'm going. But like, our buddy Nas had said in the DMs that he wonders if like Jokic and Aaron Gordon and such are a little maybe too strong for Vando. And I could see that, because Vando's more of a, like, he's like a 3-4 wing that has the size of a 4, but he's also stringy like a 3. So it's just kind of, you know, and in between, he would be fine, I think, like on MPJ, for example, instead of like Austin, there's going to be an athletic boost and a little bit of a improved reach on there. But I think Rui would be the guy I go to, just because he's more power based and the athleticism obviously is there, but like he was able to bully guys. There was a play, I think it was in the third quarter, where they throw it down to Rui, and Bruce Brown tries to go around the backside, and he's able to corral the ball and then just pull up like immediately. And it wasn't a true like power move of like backing down, you know, even though I think he was backing down. Fudge. I don't remember if it was MPJ or Aaron Gordon. He was backing one of them down, and then how Bruce Brown went behind and just was able to just step up and get a bucket right there. So I think that's where I would personally go. He's not going to be able to be pushed around. He's got the reach. That's I think how I would go about it. What about you, Raj?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Rui's going to start in game two. I would I wouldn't be mad if Vanderbilt did either. I think Vanderbilt would guard Jamal Murray. So I thought Dennis was the best on Murray yesterday. I'm a little bit worried about Reeves chasing around Jamal Murray and playing that two-man game. It's just, I would like a little bit more size on that, and I think you can switch that a little bit more. But I agree. I think Rui's going to start, and I think that physical kind of matchup that he gives you is such an advantage. And I thought we would start AD on Aaron Gordon to start the series, but we didn't. We put him on Jokic, and I think that just takes away what AD can do in the series. If AD is on Jokic, he can't really impact defensively anywhere else, right? So, like, not to compare to the last series, but that's why we put him on GP2 on Andrew Wiggins instead of Draymond, so that the screen action, he can be a helper instead of being involved in every play, right? Because if he's guarding Jokic, Jamal Murray's just going to call him up. And now he's up on the perimeter, and he can't help at the rim. He can't deflect shots. And I think the best case to me is you guard Jokic with Rui. If Jokic is going to score 45 points on, like, ISO fadeaways, then you kind of have to live with that. What you can't have is Jamal Murray dropping 30, KCP dropping 20, Bruce Brown dropping 16, MPJ with his 15. Like, that's where you're dead. And that's where Jokic gets that wheel going, and he has, like, 30, 15, and whatever he had in rebounding. But if you can keep that, like, a one-on-one game with AD helping on off of Aaron Gordon, I think that's the key. And if you can have them adjust to where they have to move MPJ to the four more Jeff Green minutes, I think that's a win for us. And also, if they're going to just – I saw the counter that would be to just take Aaron Gordon out of the paint. Well, if you do that, you lose all your offensive rebounding prowess as well, right? So now
– and you also can just sag on Gordon. I'm looking at his shooting real fast in the playoffs, but he doesn't shoot the ball that much.
No, and I don't think he will. I think what they're going to try to do is have him set flare screens for KCP, have him set flare screens for, like, Jamal Murray. But that's not Steph Curry. That's not Klay Thompson, right? Like, you can get out to that a little bit more. And to me, that's just not a position that Aaron Gordon is usually in. Like, that's not his role really on this team. So I'm fascinated to see Denver's counter, which I'm sure they'll have. But, yeah, I would start Rui in that one and then hope that Austin can take care of Jamal Murray. D'Lo, I'm a little worried who he defends, but yeah.
Yeah. One thing I think to consider is with having AD play Jokic one-on-one, as you said, it takes away his impact elsewhere. You know, like we don't want AD trying to be Rudy Gobert. You know, mm-hmm. Rudy mm-hmm. Gobert is a really good down low post defender. We love clowning on him, but I mean, he is right. Jokic fucking eats him alive. So like, why are we worried about that? You know, like you got to let AD roam around and get his, you know, into him. Like if you're gonna have Rui on him, cool. If you're going, like, I think also another thing, and I want to do it for extended stretches. I would do it for like pick and choose is putting LeBron on him because
I'm about to bring that up. Yeah, I think LeBron because, on Jokic could kind of. What's it called? They kind of bring them into trying to force Jokic to score on LeBron.
Yeah, and I think what it's also going to do is it's going to keep LeBron engaged. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of times, if you're asking, like when people say like LeBron should be like that roaming free safety, it's bullshit. He loses focus on that, and I know like a lot of people would probably hate hearing me say that. I don't care. Like he's a really, really good defender. LeBron, he's a really good help defender. Like the chase down blocks. Like, I mean, he had another one on, I think it was on Bruce Brown last night as well. Yeah. So like, he's really good at stuff like that. But when he's just off ball defense all the time, he does lose focus a lot.
Which is why I worry mm-hmm. about him on MPJ.
Yeah. So like, let him, and again, I'm not saying like make him the primary defender on Jokic, but like letting him and Rui and AD kind of rotate through defending him, and whoever needs like a stretch of like, all right, let me, you know, roam around, like then that you can do it that way. It's more of like attacking him, kind of like how they did with Steph. They're just throwing a shit ton of bodies at him, you know, of doing that. You can't just send your best defender, in my opinion, at him because of how Jokic is just his vision is, and pinpoint accuracy on passes is so good. You can't do that. Like it's not a bright idea. Like AD one-on-one did just fine against him. Like Jokic ended up with what, 33 points or something like that. But you take that, but as you guys said, where he kills you is when he gets the 14, 15 assists.
Mm-hmm.
So like those 32 points is he's actually accounting for, you know, 60 plus points all by himself. So that's where I'm just like, you gotta kind of rotate guys in on him like we would on Russ. And as for like D'Lo, that was, I think part of the reason why D'Lo was struggling so much on defense was because like his shooting wasn't there. 4 of 11 from the field. He was shooting after the game on the court, trying to get more shots. And I think he just lost confidence in himself. Not to say D'Lo is a great defender, but like he's not, looking at the timeline, people are acting like he's some defensive sieve or something out there. He was solid against Golden State, and God, everyone was afraid of Golden State. Like, who is D'Lo going to defend? Like, it's just now different. He's 6'5", 6'6", with a 6'9" wingspan. He's going to be able to find a way to defend someone. You just got to put him in the right spot as well. You know, that's the thing. I don't think he's defensively inept. Like he can't defend. It's mm-hmm. you have to put him in the proper placement. And that's where I think like you got to adjust what you're doing with AD. So then it's going to impact everyone else as well. I guess that's kind of my thing. I understand like, yeah, maybe you want Schroeder out there to be able to follow around Jamal Murray. Jamal was just shitting all over Dennis as well. So like that's
the best way to defend Jamal Murray is to put him in pick and roll actions and to have him switch onto people. That's why Murray struggled so much in that fourth quarter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday was because they were abusing him defensively.
Yeah, also, he had five fouls. You could have, if you played D'Lo more, you could have gotten him to foul out. Like it was essentially begging for it at that point.
But that's why the D'Lo thing is frustrating, though. It's not like in, you know, him not having the ability. It's like he just goes through these phases where he, like last night, their game plan obviously was to attack him relentlessly, like Bruce Brown.
I mean, Michael Malone said it himself today.
He said it also, like you could just tell KCP, right, whenever he had D'Angelo Russell on him, was very aggressive. And this is another team that has guards that are kind of forceful, that are going to make you be physical, and he has to kind of match that force with force. So I think he's going to be fine. I'm not in the, like, bench D'Angelo Russell. I think that's super quick. He's done a lot of stuff in the playoffs. And like you said, he was great on Clay. That's what makes it frustrating. Like, you can stay with a guy like Clay Thompson. You can stay with a guy like KCP. You can stay – Bruce Brown should not be – attacking you one-on-one in transition where you look like you're helpless. Like, those are the type of plays where, like, you know, it's game one of the playoffs. Like, this, it's not a, you know, a regular situation. And I agree with you. I think on Jokic, it's going to be a rotating carousel. Like, it's going to be – I thought they would start LeBron on him, honestly. But LeBron, AD, Rui, I think even Vanderbilt.
I'm glad that I'm not an idiot. Like, because, like, that's one thing. Like, I, you know, we always say, like, you know, give LeBron a little bit of a rest on defense because he has to do so much on offense. But for and like the fact that
conference finals, man, there's no rest. Like, you said on MPJ, like, exactly. I like him on MPJ. Like, that's a good matchup for him. Sorry, but
I mean, for Bron, my thing is for him on MPJ. Is MPJ is not going to be on ball a lot. He's going to be floating around, and that's why I don't really like LeBron on him, because he's going to be out of the play a lot. He's going to possibly lose focus. You know, that's where I come at that, you know?
Yeah, but they run enough stuff for MPJ where, like, you can't be spacewalking. Like, they don't run a ton. They don't run stuff like they do for Clay, but they do run, like, actions, the cross screens for him. Like, you got to be engaged, and I think, like, he can guard him. MPJ doesn't run a ton around, but, like, he'll do one move, and he'll go stand in the corner. But I just think, like, having some size to contest him, because I think he's their X factor. Like, if you can take out MPJ from this series, I think you can you have a really great shot. He's raining threes on you, then it's
to me that KCP. But I get what you're saying. I think KCP is that third guy for them. Honestly.
I just don't expect KCP to average 20, but I think MPJ could absolutely average 20 in the series. Like, he can give him
like
the
threes like that. Like, he can never do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of know about KCP. So
sadly,
he's in the wrong jersey. Damn it. Yeah. But yeah, I think
winner gets,
I think
KCP. Just... How about that? Winner.
I think that's just going to be always my concern of, you know, and I always get it, especially like in the regular season. But as you said, it's conference finals. You got to nut up or shut up. Like, this is not the time to make excuses. Looking at you, Warriors Twitter, but like, this is not the time to make excuses. You got to play and play well and be focused, or you lose, you know, like that game yesterday was a combination of Lakers ineptitude on things and Denver just killing it. I mean, like, how many just ridiculous shots did they
The Murray one was because Jokic
is both of them.
They were just both incredibly stupid. I mean, but like clean shots, you know, like Jokic, if AD is, you know, a foot away, he's gonna make that often, you know. So like, that's, yeah, it was just if a few of those go the other way, you know, the Lakers have game one and whatnot. But like, I guess one thing I am glad is that we didn't hear a lot of bitching about the refs a lot, you know, like we did all during the last series. There,
but the fouls were pretty
even. It was pretty even. It was pretty even. Yeah. It was like 22 to 26. And then those BS shots by Murray and like Jokic, like some of those you have to, like, there was a shot where Jokic came off. He came off a screen and curled into a three and he swished it. It's like, there's nothing you could do about that. You just can't overcommit. You have to be disciplined.
Let me ask you guys this.
Not even AD can stop that.
I saw this a little bit. I mean, I haven't seen a ton, but how do you feel about Vanderbilt picking him up full court? And essentially just handing him 94 feet. Yes, Jokic.
Oh,
Vanderbilt. 94 feet on Jokic and essentially defending him like he's like Steph or something in terms of
can I have Vanderbilt do that for the first 60 feet? just being a complete and utter pest, you know, and then switching off with someone, you know, like that's and not that like I don't think Vando couldn't defend him at all. He's got the athleticism, he's got the length, but like if you're gonna do it, you're gonna have to, one, AD has to be on the floor. But like you're going to have to do that where yeah, he's picking him up full court, because if he gets him down low, then you are going to have AD close to the basket for the help side defense. Like it's just
really, I find Jokic to be uncomfortable a little bit. You know?
Yeah, yeah, and I think as a changeup you could do that. But as I said, I think the three primary defenders should be, you know, LeBron, AD, and Rui.
Yeah. I also think with that, the issue is like with Steph, like, he had to initiate from the top. They just won't. Right. They'll just let Jamal Murray walk it up, and then Vanderbilt's going to pick up fouls, right? The way that Jokic flops, no disrespect, mm-hmm. but the flopping is
Reeves definitely pushed him a little bit. But then you saw Reeves say to him, okay, I pushed you, but I'm not that strong. That's
290 pounds. Like,
I would say that was definitely a foul. Just like it was.
Yeah, but the embellishment of it.
The embellishment, yes, is annoying. The one that really got me was the one on the sideline. And I think that was the one with another one with Vanderbilt, where then Vanderbilt, then he kind of just like, I think my point with going back to the Vanderbilt comment of his bitching about it is he then just gets completely lost in that argument. He, you know, like everyone does, of course.
Let's the refs get in his head, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, dude, yes, we know you didn't touch him. Like, or if you did, it was barely, like, just barely. And, yeah, he flopped. We know it. Just be like, okay, gotcha. You know, like, type of thing. Like, don't. Like, that action very clearly is not going to have any impact on a non-star compared to a star.
Right.
You know, that's
probably the best player in basketball right now.
Yeah, like, the LeBron and AD, if they were to then bitch about it, like, that would be one thing, because then maybe they might get calls the other way. Jared Vanderbilt's not going to get calls the other way. Like, don't worry about it, you know? Like,
yeah,
just don't.
Yeah. For sure. That's why, yeah, I would be wary of that, because I think they can just give the ball to Jamal Murray and he can initiate, and Vanderbilt's going to pick up fouls. He's going to be destroyed in the post. And I think Jokic just has too many ways. I think you want to put a strong body on him, be physical, frustrate him on the other end, right? Like the little bumps and stuff, make him, you know, think those are fouls. And with Vanderbilt, I think he's just too skinny. But I would love to see Vanderbilt on Murray. That's the matchup.
I was just about to say that.
I want that. That's like, and I'm even fine. I don't know what you guys think, but if Vando's going to start, like, I wouldn't be mad at that if he starts over Rui. Like, if you put LeBron on Jokic, Vando on Jamal Murray, like, I wouldn't be terrible.
So the only thing I worry about Vando starting there is you get the same issue with PJ. Yeah,
that's true. Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Yeah, then you would have trouble where who to put on MPJ. That's the conundrum. But yeah, but in any case, like, Vando's minutes are being dropped down anyway. He only played 10 minutes last night, and I'm not sure the route that Rui's minutes are going and Vando's are going in opposite directions. But I'd love to see him on Jamal Murray for a little bit, at least in those non-AD minutes, especially because those non-AD minutes coincide with non-Jokic minutes, would coincide with Murray minutes, right? So, like, that's where I would throw Vando on Jamal Murray and see if he can slow him down.
It sucks because with Vando, we haven't really faced a guy that you'd be like, okay, yeah, that's who, you want Vanderbilt defending that guy's kind of serious. Because, yeah, we had him on Jaw and we had him on
Jaw, yeah.
But I think ideally he isn't defending those guys. Like, you want him on a
wing, right?
A Jimmy Butler, Kevin Durant, you know. People
Jason
like that.
Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown.
Brandon Ingram. We haven't played a player like that. Even like a Booker, who I think is different than a Curry and a Ja Morant.
Just real quick, with the mention of Booker, like, Raj, buddy, your love for Booker.
He's good, man. I know the off the court stuff.
You need to bring the love down a little bit.
The Kardashian stuff.
I'm not even worried about that.
Did you see what he shot in that series?
He was really good this playoff.
And did you, the type of shots he makes are ridiculous. Like, no one in the league to me makes the shots that he does. Like, and he does. He has every variety. He's double teamed, triple teamed. Their point guard is Campaign and Chris Paul, who they're not guarding. And he had where he missed five shots between two games. And they were like all mid-range assassin type of shots. I think he's absurd. I think he's better than people think. I don't know.
I don't agree.
We can do a little tangent here. What's your issues with my Devin Booker appreciation post?
Well, he's not good on defense. And two, I think that was a narrative that's lived.
Look at who he was defending though. He wasn't really having to defend people like that.
No. They're already letting him do like the LeBron, and he's only what, 26? So like, yeah, no. Like, offensively, yeah, but like he had a really hot playoffs. Everyone also still makes him out to be an elite, like Steph Curry type deep threat shooter. Not really that.
He doesn't have to be though. Like
I understand that, but like
and hot playoffs really quick is unfair. Like Kevin Durant missed the final weeks of the season, right when they got traded, and their roster was nothing, right? It was Chris Paul, who I think was also out.
I just also then it goes into the Phoenix Suns whole thing of like people were really afraid of them, and I did not fear them at all. Like you like AD
if
or
Kawhi is healthy, they lose to the Clippers. I'm willing to put money on that. They lose to the Clippers in the first round.
If Paul George is healthy, he wasn't even there. Mm-hmm. Like, I just need, like, that's also the thing against the Clippers. You know, like, other than Kawhi,
the Clippers were in like four of those games, including the game they won.
Yeah, against the Nuggets, they like the Suns were just not, they weren't going to do anything.
It took those insane Booker games for them to even win two games.
Yeah,
but listen, quick, because I know I'm not trying to sound like a Devin Booker apologist here. I'm not trying to do that, but their starting center got outplayed by Jock Landale, so they started starting Jock Landale, and then their starting center quit the last game, right? So it's a game six at home. Jock Landale, in my opinion, also
that goes to Monty Williams not being as good of a coach.
That has nothing to do though with Devin Booker.
I'm talking about the Suns in general, switching kind of more into a Suns in general type thing. But like Devin Booker though, like he's good. He's a top 15 player. I was starting to see like people were saying like he's a top five, and no way in hell is he a top five player.
I think he can touch the top 10. I think like I think he can touch that range. I don't have him top five. Like I'll
name 10 guys who I'd rather have than Devin Booker right now. Anthony Davis, Jokic,
okay,
Embiid, okay. Giannis, Jimmy Butler,
Embiid, okay,
Jimmy Butler, Jason Tatum.
Steph Curry.
Okay. Steph Curry,
Luka
Doncic.
Luka Doncic, for sure.
Luka. Yeah. Oh, my God. I have someone else. LeBron.
Yeah, LeBron.
I don't know if this will sound crazy, but Embiid, I think you're splitting hairs. I think even Tatum, you might be splitting hairs. Like, I honestly think.
I don't agree with Tatum. Tatum's actually legit. Like, he's gone now to multiple. He's gone to multiple Eastern Conference Finals. Like,
that's true. That's fair.
Like, and the thing with
they've been
with
to Devin the Booker, same amount of they've been to the same amount of NBA finals.
And Devin Booker has done less with a lot of times more.
What he's done less
Kevin
with
Durant.
More?
Kevin Durant.
He got Kevin Durant this year.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant just got hurt. Kevin Durant.
I'm just saying, like, and then continuing to not do much when he doesn't have the help.
Here's my hottest take, and this is more of a long-term thing. I would rather have Anthony Edwards than Devin Booker.
Yes, long-term. Right there with you, buddy.
That is.
I'm not even debating that one. Yes. Yep.
I would rather. I love Anthony Edwards. Yep. I'm doing that
10 out of 10 times.
Yep.
I'm not going to attack you guys on that take. I just think that we need to give credit to guys who've actually gone and done it. Like, I think they should get the benefit of the doubt. Right? So I see Devin Booker compared to
that's
like.
That's why I said in like long term. I'm not saying right.
Right,
now.
Right. But I'm just saying like I see like Devin Booker and Zach LaVine, right, put in the same kind of context, and I think a lot of people think that
Booker over LaVine. I love LaVine. Booker over LaVine.
Sure. Okay, so we agree there. But I'm just saying like that type of conversation. Like Anthony Edwards, great, but like Devin Booker's done it on like he had 47 to close us out. If you remember that year, I know AD was out, but like. I'm absurd to come on the road and do that. The conference finals, NBA finals, obviously the embarrassing losing to the Mavericks. But again, Luka's the better guy, and he had a generational kind of game seven. I'm a fan of the aesthetics, and maybe that kind of pushes me farther into
he's
like
got a pretty
game.
He's got a pretty jump shot.
Okay, how about this? That's Dame or Devin Booker?
I dislike both.
Damn, I love both.
I just like both with a passion.
I'd rather have Dame, personally.
In a vacuum, if Dame is healthy, Dame. But the problem is Dame is not healthy, and he's also what 8 years older. So that's
what
that's
about,
where
what about
I would probably.
Kawhi? I'm a Kawhi Booker.
Kawhi before the injuries.
Well, even Kawhi. When Kawhi plays, he's a top five player with the injuries,
also kind of there. But damn, man, the injuries just always scare me now with Kawhi. Kawhi has been like before, like
when
Luka,
he plays,
been my, he's been Kawhi is my favorite non-Laker ever since he was drafted. And I hate saying that because I hate the Spurs. I hate the Spurs almost as much as I hate the Celtics, if not actually more, because in my opinion, over the last 20, and this is going completely away from what we were all intending. Over the last 25 years, Suns the Spurs Raj. have been more of a rival to the Lakers than Boston. 100%. Boston has not done, has won one title in the last, 35 years? Something like that. They've won one title in my lifetime. I am 33 years old. One title in my lifetime. While the Spurs have won, they won five with Duncan?
Four
with Duncan. And I think they went, did they go to one and lose one or two?
They lost to the Heat.
They beat the Nets. They beat the Heat. They beat the Cavaliers. The Cavs. Mm-hmm. There's one more. I think 2000 is what I'm missing. The Knicks or something. The Knicks, right?
That was with David Robinson. So this
David Robinson, Duncan. Yeah.
They have been way more of a rival for me in my lifetime compared to the Celtics. And I get historically, obviously those two are the two rivals, but for my lifetime, that has been the team I've hated. So to say the fact that I've loved Kawhi, even with him being on that stupid ass franchise that just got a generational talent.
The Lakers have played them seven times since 1999 in the playoffs.
God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 0.4 seconds, man.
0.4 seconds,
seconds. I hate the Spurs with a passion. And the fact that I say I love Kawhi so much is just a testament of how much I love that guy. I remember when he was getting Defensive Player of the Years over Draymond and people were flipping a bitch. And I was just like, nope, I see
it. I think that one year you're talking about, I think Draymond probably – well, no, there's one that Draymond definitely should have won. But I'm trying to remember which one it was. Because there was one that I remember Draymond 100% should have won.
I'm always gonna say Kawhi should have won any of them before. Obviously, when he went,
I think the argument with Kawhi, I think he was hurt a lot that year. I think that's why people were saying Draymond
should have won. Possible,
maybe.
But anyways, that was
future future pod. I want to learn why you hate Damian Lillard because that's my favorite non-Laker. But future,
he's a wannabe try-hard tough guy. He's job without the gun.
Oh, that's
he wants. He always acts like he wants to be a tough guy, and I get it. He's from Oakland. I get it. He grew up in a tough area. You know, that's part of his bio. I get it. You're also now worth $400 million, and you don't need to be that guy anymore. And you bitch a lot on the floor, and you have not played defense probably since 2010.
So, maybe even before that.
Exactly. But, there was a large Lakers DM about that. And I was not for trading for Dame back in the day. And I just also with him now being 34, 35.
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
That's just my thing. I have whenever he wants to talk tough. I just have to laugh because you're not a tough guy. I'll I'm a big guy. I'm not necessarily going to go fight people.
Yeah, I think that's just part of the NBA culture. But I just love his game. I think he doesn't get to do as a shooter because Steph Curry exists.
Without Steph, he might be the best shooter ever. I will happily give Dame his flowers. I just
can't. Damien, the player, he's definitely he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. I mean, even though he doesn't have that much, he's a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there's a lot of people. The NBA, the Basketball Hall of Fame is stupid easy to get into.
Tracy McGrady made it, and he only had five really good years.
I will not hear that bullshit.
I love T-Mac.
I love Tracy McGrady, and I will fly to Colorado, Boulder, wherever the hell you are, and I will find you.
He was hurt all the time, which is why Dame's been better because he's had more healthy years.
Yeah, this is true. that fucking knee.
All right. Lakers. Let's talk Lakers.
Back to Lakers. Okay, we talked Lakers defending Jokic. We've talked some adjustments, kind of like with the starting lineup and who to defend Jokic and et cetera. Kind of like AD LeBron offense. AD just needs to do what he was doing. 40 points. Honestly, it did not even feel like he had 40 points. It didn't. You know, like it like at halftime he had 18 and I was like, holy crap, he already has 18. Yeah. I did not even realize it, you know, and then ending with 40, it was still just like, oh, okay. It's could have felt like he could have gotten a few more points. It also came down to a lot of times. If I think some of those points felt like he missed out on were just personally because of all the offensive rebounds Denver got early, especially. Right. So, I think as for LeBron and his offensive adjustments is,
if you're gonna shoot a three, shoot a spot up three. I'm tired of the step back threes. I'm sorry, LeBron. Like,
or just like, you don't have to heat check all the time, man. Like, you just don't. Like, it just.
It's not just that. It's just like, I think in this series, it's so different from even Memphis and the Warriors. I felt like AD had 40, and it was just really low usage, like low energy offense, and they can't do anything with him. Once he catches it in the paint, Jokic is playing like don't foul defense, right? So he's just trying to play preventative defense there, where he's just going to have his hand up. He's going to try to strip the ball sometimes, but really AD is going to have every floater that he wants. He can dribble in and get a post hook anytime. And LeBron, to me, if they're going to switch Jamal Murray like that, and I'm sure they'll try to trap a little bit more, but he can just go mismatch hunting all game.
Please,
the way we did.
Please trap LeBron. I want them to trap LeBron because LeBron, for the most part, he makes the correct decision but on those.
There was a counter Denver did in the fourth quarter. It was interesting. Like, we were hunting Jamal Murray, right, every single time. And so what they eventually did was they're just like, well, we'll just put Jamal Murray on LeBron to start, right? And I thought that kind of messed up our motion stuff. But, like, if they're just going to give up the switch, like, LeBron that easily,
40.
LeBron can cook in this series.
What did LeBron end with? 23, I think?
26, I think he had.
He ended up getting three at the end. It just felt like he left a lot of meat on the bone.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it just, like, this also a lot of, like, lackadaisical passes from LeBron that he'll during the regular season, he'll have one or two, maybe a game or every other game or something like that. But especially in the first quarter, he had one where he had grabbed a rebound and after they played good defense, and then he just threw it in no man's land.
Full,
it was just like
pass.
Like, what are you doing? Like, no one was really even there, like within 15, 20 feet of it. Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, that was, you can't be doing that. And I understand, like, he's trying to anticipate people filling lanes and stuff like that, blah, blah, blah. Playing, you know, quarterback, and the receiver's supposed to run his route a certain way. I understand that. Just dribble off the court, man. Then go head hunt Jamal Murray.
There's also too much of him having the ball on, like, the wing, and he stands there for 12. It happens way too many times, especially when there's a Jamal Murray on him at some of those times too. It looks like he's trying to get that step back three, but he's in like that 18 to 20 foot range. He needs to attack that action. And I don't know if the offense is taking a long time to develop or whatever play they're running. But
I also wonder if the foot was bugging him a little bit more yesterday.
Oh, it's been bugging him the whole playoffs.
No, for sure. I'm just meaning, like, when we were wanting him to attack the basket, I think that could have been part of it, or he was just like, you know, like,
I think in those instances, give the ball to Austin Reeves and have Anthony Davis pick right. for him. I think that's the adjustment. If LeBron's tired and he doesn't want to do whatever, he wanted to take a step back three there, Austin should have the ball and AD or Rui or whoever saying to pick for him.
Get the ball to Rui. Like, Rui with like 6 minutes left had 17 points, and I don't think he scored again. Especially, and like, he was scoring well before. On him. Yeah, like he drove to the basket, and he as you should had the ball up high, and no one was able to reach it because like, one, his shoulders are just so big, but also, like, the reach is just so, like, long. So, like, just give the ball to Rui, you know? And, like, I know, I get it's LeBron, like, you know, some people's goat. If you can't push off how you want to because of your foot, then, you know, take a step back. You not take a step back three, but take a step back on the offense, you know? Yeah, just
He shouldn't even have to. Like, to me, this is not, like, I thought against the last series and even the Memphis series, like, that was a guard series, right? That's a series where our guards can really take over. To me, like, this is not an equal opportunity offense. Like, to me, this is LeBron and AD should absolutely destroy Denver in this series. There's no rim protection at all. If they go with Jeff Green for Aaron Gordon, that makes it even worse. Jokic wants no part of defending LeBron in space. He wants no part of guarding AD in space. There's no reason to run Dennis Schroeder isolations against MPJ on the wing. There's just no reason. Or even
you're trying to do too much. You're trying to do like the almost the anti Vogel, and where you're going to actually run actions. You know, like in this case, just run a pick and roll and ram it down their throat.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what I mean. And if you can involve, like, on that last three, I know we've harped on it, but it's just like Jamal Murray had 5 fouls. Or if you don't feel like attacking him in one-on-one, ask AD to come set the screen. Go ask Austin to come be the screener. Like, there's no reason to take a step back three in that situation when there's 40 seconds left and there's no one at the rim. Aaron Gordon was guarding Austin Reeves, who's behind the three-point line. He's not helping off of him. And then you had Jokic on AD in isolation action. Like, to me, this series, we're going to be able to score. If we can guard, if we can hold, you know, the Nuggets to like a baseline defense, I think we're going to win a lot of games. But I just think there's no reason to force it.
The Lakers scored what, 76 or something like that in the second half. They could have easily put up that much. They just needed to play better defense. That was the thing. They just needed to play better defense. And like, sure, like Denver got those ridiculous shots. I get that. Mm-hmm. The Lakers defense also just was not the number one defense that it's been. You know, you gotta make.
They had 10 more offensive rebounds than Lakers. That can't happen. Yeah, it just can't happen. Period.
Darvin has to make the adjustment a little bit quicker.
And they cleaned that up in the second half. So I don't think they had a single one for a very long time until the late fourth quarter. They had no offensive rebounds in the third.
3 points in the fourth. I think only had like one or two assists. Like, he wasn't doing much offensively in the fourth. Yeah, Jokic. It was a lot of broken plays or a offensive rebound by Aaron Gordon that turned into a KCP layup or a Michael Porter Jr. three or something like that. That's what happened. It was at the very last like 3 minutes they gave up those like really backbreaking offensive rebound to Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. All right, we already talked a little bit about D'Lo. Do we want to talk about him anymore?
I just think he should be a focal point for the first 6 minutes. The best D'Lo games have been games where he's put up 8 in the first quarter
How are you making him a focal point though? Where do you have him attacking from? Like, that's where I'm interested in. Where D'Lo
and
AD
pick and rolls. It's a bread and butter for them. D'Lo and AD have really good chemistry on those pick and rolls. If they're gonna switch, then he has Jokic on him.
Do you like him in the post? That's where he seems to be comfortable in this series. I feel like that's what he tried to do, and like, the fadeaways have been hit or miss.
He had that one 15-foot like leaning pull up on Jokic. I think it was in the second quarter. That's kind of more of what I want him to do. Yeah, I don't want him doing like a back to the basket sort of post fade. I want him movement like 15-footers. I think that's where he can get going, and then that's when you can get into transition eventually. And he's hitting those 30-foot three-pointers,
the bombs. Mm-hmm.
I think. Definitely those AD pick and rolls. I mean, honestly, AD should be in a pick and roll action every
possession
play. Every possession. AD, yep.
It's Austin slipping for a three.
For LeBron.
Yeah,
yep.
Like, it's, yep, AD needs to be in a pick and roll with LeBron, with Austin, with D'Lo, with Rui. I don't care.
The way Mike Malone made it a point to attack D'Lo, they need to attack Jamal Murray the same way.
Yeah. Or even make it an inverted pick and roll where like AD has the ball and you screen, you know, someone for him. Like, we have so much stuff to, like, this is not the Warriors with Draymond or the Memphis Grizzlies with Jaren Jackson Jr. Like, there's no one down there. Aaron Gordon is not leaving LeBron.
They were talking about how Jamal was setting screens for Jokic. Like, you could do that with AD. AD has 100%. Been insane from the mid-range. It's been damn near automatic. It's like almost 60%. Like,
he's been great.
Which, the way that people love the mid-range, especially in the playoffs, that's an ungodly number. The average for mid-range shots is usually actually pretty dang low. It's usually like around 40-something percent for the league average. And some of the better ones are shooting 45. Then you got, like, of course, like KD, who is like the master of the mid-range now at like sometimes over 50%. But like with AD around 60%, that's just like, it's, you can't stop that. Like you can have him take those shots.
There are four guys who can, I think, can make that mid-range jumper pretty consistently at this point for the Lakers. And it's AD, obviously. I think D'Lo, when he has it going, he can really hit that mid-range really consistently. Rui and Austin Reeves. And I think they didn't really like explore that a lot. I mean, I know Rui had 17 and Austin had 23 or whatever, but a lot of it came from threes or attacking the rim and stuff. I think all four, like especially, you know, Austin and D'Lo, if they're handling the ball, I think those mid-range jumpers are there for most of the game. And yeah, I know Jokic, I think Michael Porter Jr. had a block on one of those Rui mid-ranges, and like you live with that. That's not going to happen every play. Michael Porter Jr. doesn't care enough defensively to do that consistently.
Yeah,
Austin and is pretty consistently getting guarded by Murray or by KCP, and I mean KCP's a good defender, but I still think Austin can get some in that mid range there. They just need to explore that more. Like obviously LeBron and AD can and should have 25, 30 plus each. But I think to really like get those people like a Murray, like a KCP tired offensively, you really just need to get like hit those mid ranges, get those pick and rolls on them. Michael Porter Jr. as well. I don't know why they didn't attack him more as well. It just seemed like they were getting really easy shots to the rim because Jokic isn't a rim protector like that.
Why I think
it should be those other three or four guys do that.
Should be rim pressure. And to your point, AD shooting 53% on mid-range this playoffs. Next is D'Lo at 38. And then Lonnie's actually shooting like 58%, but it's like I think low volume for him because he just entered the rotation. But yeah, like the average around Dennis Schroeder's at 43, Austin's at 37. So yeah, it's actually a low, like you don't hit too much of those. But AD has been shooting it. It's on pick and pops too, right? It's not like in 2020 where it's jab step jump shots. It's a lot of pick and pop, which I think, you know, is working out to his favor. But yeah, I think you can punish this team at the rim. And if they can get going, if D'Lo can get a little loose, I think he's our X factor for this series. Like if D'Lo can score 15 to 17, like I think we're in really good shape because I feel like you're going to get
one of those stretches. He's had a handful of them during the playoffs.
The barrage.
3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think just kind of, you know, with how I said ram it down their throat earlier, you know, as you said, Jokic is trying to play no foul defense. Because if he gets like three early, they're so screwed.
he's you know? Going to be in foul trouble at some point this series. And I'm not saying like refs are going to help us out. It's just like the way we're going to have to make him defend. He had two total fouls until like the last minute. Like that's
There's that's no way a seven footer. Yeah, there's no way a seven footer should not have more fouls than that. When you have AD going at him, or LeBron should be going at him, or you know. Mm-hmm. Continue, you know, such and such. Like, hell, just tell Lonnie to go downhill. Lonnie will go. That was real quick about Lonnie. I love Lonnie. Everyone knows I love Lonnie. He had just eaten popcorn or something during that game. There was a couple times where he like went to grab the ball after he had picked up his dribble like in the lane, and the ball just flew out of his hands, and I was just like, God, what happened? Go put some baby powder on your hands or something. Like what in the world? But let him attack him. Like
he was still solid even with
for sure.
Hit the threes. Yeah.
No, he did. Mm-hmm. Like I have said that Lonnie should have never been taken out of the rotation. He just needed to be guided into where his role was going to be. But let him yam all over Jokic. Like he can. He's got the boosties for it. So
yeah. I like him. I like him off the bench with him, either Austin with LeBron, Rui, and like Vando. I think that's a lot of physical guard play along with like physical wings. So I think he's gonna spin the rotation.
AG is their backup five. That's who's at the five when Jokic is out. So You can do that, Rui and LeBron, and I guess Vando front court, but they need to stop the ball. That's a big problem. They don't stop ball in that unit. They never do. Yeah. Bruce Brown had, I think, two or three just easy transition layups just off of that second quarter alone. Mm-hmm. Like, they really need to clean that up, but it happened a lot during the playoffs in that LeBron Rui front court that I don't really know if they'll be able to adjust it at this point, especially with it not being that big of a unit, like minutes wise, but they just need to stop the ball. Yeah. Instead of like having them go on a 10-2 run, it's like a 4-2, it's 4-2, and you're not going down by 10 all of a sudden or 15 all of a sudden. It's just little things
that was on LeBron. I think Clay pointed that out. LeBron had some bad turnovers in those non-AD minutes in the first half. He was throwing the ball everywhere. The full court pass to Austin, like that stuff was involved in that. But yeah, if Jokic is going to play 42 minutes a game, I mean, that's 6 minutes that he's not on the floor. It's like 3 minutes a half, so it's not, you know, it's not a huge stretch. You're just trying to tread water really in those minutes, and then, you know,
we've talked about those D'Lo barrages when he scores 10 in 3 minutes, and that's a big part of some of those Laker wins. So
true.
I know you say it's only 6 minutes, but I mean, like,
yeah, huge for sure. It can shift.
Yeah, I also if Jokic has to play 42 a game, he's got to get worn down eventually. You got to make him tired. He looked dead tired at the end of the game. At the end, exactly. So like, you just got to essentially.
They only play eight deep. So like, so they're running a lot of guys.
Other than one of them, Jokic, as he said, Brown. They don't have another big.
So yeah, like Aaron Gordon is the backup center.
Yeah, I mean, like Aaron Gordon is really just like a three that has to play a four because he never developed the skill set for it. You know.
Never thought about it that way. Yeah.
He's a big dude, he is. No, and not to say like he isn't big, but like he also doesn't play like big and powerful like a Julius Randle type, you know? But he also never he never developed the skill as well. Like I know he's a four, you know what I'm saying? But it just coming out of Arizona, he was always like, oh, he could be like a 4-3 type, you know, like with a Rui type thing. But like he just never developed because like Rui can play the three for stretches. Aaron Gordon can't. He's really now a more of a 4-5 just because he never developed the skill for it. But I guess it's a funny way of thinking about it, but it's just kind of how my brain is. And now you're having to play him as a five, like he's just not
well, I mean for that. You gonna go with DeAndre Jordan? I hope they do. Like, that'd be great.
Oh God, it would be.
Thomas, Bryant for some reason can't get off the bench over there. It's just really strange.
Because he doesn't play defense.
Yeah, but you knew that when they traded 5 second round picks for him. I mean,
I know that was like my second favorite trade. I think just because of just how God insane that was.
Yeah. I feel for him. He was about to get paid and now he's going to be right back into a minimum contract.
I mean, because he requested out.
Yeah. He requested out.
No, I know. I just,
I also don't know if he was about to be paid like people think he was.
He would have been paid more than what he's going to get paid.
Yeah.
People are saying we couldn't afford him. You know what I mean? Like that was a conversation around it that we wouldn't be able to afford him coming back. And now he's definitely going to be back on a minimum.
It was a bad conversation. I'll just say that. And I love Thomas Bryant. I do. But like, he never cared about defense anymore.
He also couldn't shoot anymore, which was a huge like the reason he got the contract from Washington, right, was because he was a 40% three-point shooter, and so that went away and he became this big that just plays hard. But yeah, no, he's not gonna play anyway. He's not gonna be involved in this series. Why doesn't Mike Malone talk about that? Why doesn't he talk about that his big man can't play?
it's really weird the way Mike Malone's been talking about, really, D'Angelo, but just the team and the Lakers in general.
Yes.
After winning one game, like, you can be confident in your team, but like, it's weird.
I also wonder if Mike Malone has issue with D'Lo going back. Mike Malone was a Sacramento head coach with De'Aaron Fox.
But like, they never had any interaction, though. Right? Like,
well,
But I'm just meaning for like Lakers and picks and everything like that. That's what I'm not saying it's entirely.
It's probably this. You know who's on the coaching staff, right? Ryan Saunders is on the coaching staff. He coached D'Lo in Memphis. I mean Minnesota, I should say.
Oh yeah.
Isn't Ryan Saunders like is he the coach now? Or is
he's an assistant. He's an assistant coach for the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I mean that's a long time to hold a grudge on a player that you know didn't really mean much like to the whole skate.
You'd be surprised
Yeah, it's just strange. I mean, I feel like it's some, you know, 4D chess trying to make the Lakers play D'Lo more or run through him more. I don't know if that's the case. Like, I want him to talk about LeBron, call LeBron old, you know, like say AD has nothing for Jokic. Like, where's those quotes? Like, give me those quotes.
Well, but they pretty much did saying like, oh, well, we've seen this adjustment with the Rui stuff.
But that's on like Rui. Like, that's sick. Yeah, like that doesn't poke LeBron, I guess.
They need to bring in Dylan Brooks as a special guest. Let's do that.
Oh, God. Dylan Brooks to Denver. Yeah.
Oh, God. All right. Did we have any final bench talk that we wanted to discuss? I think we kind of got
pretty much did.
Yeah. Right.
So I think that is a good point to end it with our long little you know rabbit hole dive of
a good 20 minutes for talking about Devin Booker.
Devin Booker and then my dislike.
I can't believe I have to defend a guy that like I think he made first team All NBA this year, and I have to be like, Devin Booker's good.
Did Booker make it all? I don't think he made an All NBA team, didn't he?
He not? I thought he did.
I'm pretty sure he didn't. Because remember, he was out for a good chunk of the season.
Oh, maybe he didn't make the games cut.
I'm be right. Yeah, I'm not gonna say that. I don't think Devin Booker's good. I just don't think he's as amazing as a lot of people think he is. Especially, I think my thing is a lot of Lakers fans, and I'm not just saying you specifically, Raj. There's been plenty of other Lakers fans. And I feel like a lot of the Lakers fans just gush over him because anytime any non-Lakers player goes about like, oh, I just love Kobe, they're just like, oh my gosh, why can't we get him in LA? I'm like, oh my god, shut up.
You were right though. He didn't make a single All NBA team. Maybe I'm thinking of last year.
He did last year. He did last. Or if not last year, it was the championship year. The finals year.
Finals year.
He was first team All NBA last year. Yeah, last year he was first team All NBA. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we'll go ahead and end that. Maybe we can talk more crap about this off air. But Raj, go ahead and put out everywhere that you are. I mean, it's that just mainly the All Access or whatever it's called now.
On Playback All Access Playback. Lakers. There we go. For Blue Wire, do the post game show. Mm-hmm. The Lakers Lounge as well. Sure, I'll be back here soon. Lakers keep winning. I'll keep jumping back.
Wonderful.
We'll have you on when we do our full draft overview.
I'll be a listener. You don't want me there. I'll have nothing to input on that. But I'll definitely be a listener.
One day we will get you in on draft talk.
I don't know where you guys create the time in the day to do that. You guys are living really on different clocks.
During the year. It's not even during the college basketball year, really. We just watch a bunch of highlights at one point.
A lot of it is you find guys and then you go and watch their film. And a lot of times you can just find like the sped up film.
Okay, but see, like my database is 30 NBA teams, right? And then it's
the thing. You have 30 NBA teams. I don't give a shit about 29 other NBA teams. So
no. I'm just saying my database, right, is like nine players on a team roughly play. There's like two superstars on each team, so I can follow. There's a way more colleges. There's high school tape.
Yeah, but like you don't have to really watch high school until after they've been. Yeah, yeah. So it's just you then you can wait a lot of times until after March Madness. So then you can then see kind of like the rankings. Yeah, and like then what you do is you see names, you find things that you like, then you go watch those players. You know, like I hate I'm gonna say it. I hate watching college sports. It's fucking awful. Like college basketball is garbage. Like college football is garbage as well. Like I know a lot of people love college sports. It's terrible.
College football is only good when it's like LSU versus Alabama or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's really just like a handful of teams that are like legit watchable because they have like 12 to 15 NFL ready players on the rosters.
And now with like college basketball, you're mainly just watching essentially for like one prospect. Mm-hmm. That's what you're there. That's what you're doing there. You're watching for one guy because now, like, a lot of them are just kind of going everywhere. They're not all teaming up at Kentucky. They're not all teaming up at Duke. They're not all going, especially not to North Carolina. God, they have completely ruined them.
The first five are very likely going to be one college player and four. But Wembanyama's international, and then three G League Ignite players in the Thompson twins and Scoot Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I just think it's like a Damian Lillard comes out of Weber's state, right? Like,
yeah,
who's
but
watching
see, like,
Weber's state basketball?
That's the thing. You're really not. You're going.
Damian Lillard play basketball.
That's true.
Yeah, you're not. You don't even get to see most. Like, not all those games are on TV or even posted online. So, like, especially like. You have to have like a jaw type guy, you know, and like Dame back in the day, but also that was what, like 13, 14 years ago now at this point.
Ben Simmons on LSU, it was just Ben Simmons.
I thought Markelle Fultz was next. Like I was like that's what
oh,
I
no, we,
was
we
like,
all
okay.
we all
I still think the Sixers screwed him up. I was like, let me try drafting stuff.
That was the Lonzo year. I was like, Markelle Fultz is next.
He was that guy. He's solid now.
The 76ers ruined him and then the injuries.
How do you ruin a guy's like confidence to shoot? You know what I mean? It's a guy that's probably been shooting.
Ask Ben Simmons as well.
Yeah, but Ben Simmons was never like a guy who
wasn't, but he was shooting mid-range numbers at LSU.
Don't even just worry about LSU. Like, not even just the shooting, but just like when he was the first couple of years in Philadelphia, he would attack the basket like a madman, and then eventually he just stopped. I remember one play this year with Brooklyn where he had an open basket.
Oh, he's a lost soul now.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, he the Australian league doesn't even want him.
Like a reclamation project at this point. Unless it's like a minimum, I'm not touching him.
Which is crazy, right? For a guy who's probably the best player on his team since like eighth grade. And Markelle Fultz, I'm sure, is the same way, right? Like probably best player on his team since eighth grade.
But at least Markelle has a role in the NBA at this point.
He is. But like you see his 3-point shot now? Like, have you seen it? I don't know if you've
Well, because Philly tried to fix his shot, which his shot wasn't broken.
But why? Why fix
it? Because they think that they know better. And the problem is when you do that, and it's not a guy who needs to learn how to do something, then that you jack up their confidence, and then it's just all downhill.
I know we're going on here, but like
threes off of pick and rolls.
It's not just that Markelle Fultz wasn't some undrafted kid that they're like, okay, we're gonna fix. He's the number one freaking pick, and he got drafted on it. He was drafted on his ability to number one hit pull up jump shots and be a scorer. What are we talking about here? Like, I don't understand. Like, I think there's gonna be a 30-for-30 on him. But
after they got rid of, after Philadelphia got rid of Sam Hinkie, everything went downhill. Go look at all of their decisions. It has been
they were gonna get Kristaps Porzingis, and they took Okafor instead.
Yeah. Ownership overruled him on that, and they took Okafor. Yeah. Then of course Markelle, the issue with that, they traded away Mikal Bridges for Zaire Smith.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like there were so many bad moves. They traded for Jimmy Butler, and then they just let him walk away.
They signed Tobias Harris instead.
They signed Tobias Harris, and then they traded
Jason Tatum. Right, they could have drafted him. So there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of bad decisions.
Those are terrible decisions. The Markelle Fultz unable to shoot, like that is just
crazy.
It was like the whole thing
about him having like a motorcycle. Wasn't some kind of accident he was into?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. They were. I don't know if that's real or not, but I did hear about the motorcycle thing
too. But it wasn't like Jason Williams type thing.
No.
It was like a speed bike. What was that called? The bikes at the beach or something like that. I forgot what it's called.
I don't know. But yeah, it just Philadelphia is a disaster of an organization. And then when you have your superstar trying to say that everyone else needs to help him and James, when he was absolutely awful in that game seven, 5 for 18. Like, don't try and put that on everyone else. Rest of the team shot 50% while James Harden and Joel Embiid were both two cups of ass.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, we should have just had that off air. But anyways, thank you, Raj, for joining us. Merge, you're great as always. I love you, even though I was an ass to you at the beginning. Go Lakers. Hopefully we see a game two victory and it leads to, I'm gonna say, 6 games for the Lakers. I'm gonna say that right now.
I'm gonna believe you this time. I believe you this time.
Okay. Merge. All right, here bold prediction. Lakers in 7. That's my bold prediction.
I don't want to.
I understand Nuggets, but it's LeBron James in a Western Conference Finals Game 7. I don't know how I feel about winning 3 straight, like winning tomorrow and then winning at home. I think that could be very difficult to win 3 straight against this team.
I don't think the Lakers lose in LA.
Fair, which is fair. I understand that. I mean, the Nuggets have been below average on the road. They were like 19-22. On the road.
Yep. I will just Lakers in 6.
That's it. That's right. And the funny thing is, I'm normally the Lakers in 6.
If it's 2-2 after game 4, I think we can win in Denver and then come back and win at home. Mm-hmm. Like I think we can do that.
Yeah.
I don't know why I feel more confident than winning a game 7 than a game 5 in Denver. I don't know why. I guess just because it's LeBron James. Maybe. And you can't really count against LeBron in a game like that. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But I'll be there tomorrow, so we'll see what happens.
Yes, sir.
Hopefully you're a good luck charm. So, all right, everyone, thank you all for listening, and have a good one. Bye.